A flying clothesline, a 2x4 to the face. Then she hits you with a turnbuckle splash. Wrestle Club Podcast. Whisakisa. It's her and her friends. And they talk about wrestling, every kind of wrestling.
Woo! Ladies and gentlemen, between, welcome to a brand new episode of the Wrestle Club UK podcast. As always, my name is Sakisa, the head of the table. And this week, I'm joined by one half of the Fluffy Boys, Danny Scott.
Hello!
And main event, Mark Cram.
I already used my joke on the first take, so now you're getting B-real of me not telling a joke. Welcome to the podcast.
Follow Mark on OnlyFans.
You could just done the joke again.
Yeah, as if you've never said the same joke twice ever in your life. Come on, Mark.
I think it's funny if I don't do the joke. I want everyone at home listening to the podcast going, what was the joke? You'll never know. You're scum and you don't deserve to hear it.
For fuck's sake, within 2 seconds, he's already shooting shit.
This week, we are talking about the 17-time world champion, arguably the greatest of all time, Mr. John Felix Anthony Cena, aka John Cena. He signed a developmental contract in 2001 and assigned to Ohio Valley Wrestling. He was then called up to the main roster in WWE in June 2002. He made his debut on the 27th of June 2002, but now at the age of 48 years old, John Cena will have his last ever match at Saturday night's main event on the 13th of December in Washington, D.C. Guys, how are we feeling?
I think we're just reeling from Felix a little bit there, aren't we?
Yeah, honestly.
Felix
Anthony, who the fuck was that? You started saying that, I was like, what?
You're like,
also, like, low-key, they should have made his ring name Felix Cena all these years.
Felix Cena's great.
What a different career he would have had if he was Felix. There's no way your main event is Felix Cena.
Yeah, it's going for the cruiserweight. Yeah. 100%. Felix Cena.
How are we feeling that how this is going to be his last ever match? Over 20 years career.
Sad. I love John Cena, man. It's going to be a sad day. But you know, it's also feeling a bit like it's a national holiday. I'm not going to lie, like, that's John Cena. I've been offered 4 gigs that night, and I've said no. It's to all of them because I'm like, that's John Cena day. Sorry. I mean, I'm not overly excited about potentially what the match will be, but like, you know, we've had a dominant Mysterio run, so I don't mind.
I mean, it's
sad. What a career?
It feels like the biggest retirement in wrestling in a way, because it's the first time anyone's really doing a I am retiring. This is when it's happening, and it actually feels like he's going to stick to it. It doesn't feel like a Ric Flair or a Mick Foley or anyone else that. Hulk Hogan, Sting.
Yeah.
To be fair, Sting's wasn't too bad. Sting did pretty well. Yeah. But Hulk Hogan, it's just like they just carried on having matches way past their prime. And Cena, instead of us, he's not as good as he was in the ring a little while ago. Although his last few matches look very sharp, to be fair.
Yeah, he's been
alright. So it's sad to see him go, but if he feels like it's the right time to go, I'm happy for him. Also, he's smashing it in Hollywood right now. Why would you carry on taking bumps if you don't need to? Dave Bautista stopped.
That's the thing, I think, is like he's one of the. He's coming. From like a wrestling fan perspective, and I don't want to have to keep coming back. I want you to know when I'm going to go. So it's really familiar.
I don't think he'll have a match again after this. I think this will be a rubber stamp. I think we'll see him.
Apparently he's going to be inducted in the Hall of Fame.
Do you think they'll do it this year?
Well, apparently the rumour is he's going to do it next year.
Straight away.
Along with Stephanie McMahon, isn't it? So.
Watch her try and steal his fucking thunder.
Yeah. So here's a question for you, look. Is he the greatest of all time?
I'll tell you what, if you're looking at what is a WWE wrestler and what they do for the company and someone that can carry a brand and take around the world, he was the absolute perfect guy for that job.
Yeah, that poster boy.
Yeah, and no one's done it better before, no one will do it better after. Cody's great, but he's not John Cena.
Nah, fucking boring.
I think if you talk about inside the ring, but also outside of the ring,
yeah,
all the stuff he did with promotion,
yeah,
the Make-A-Wish stuff, his charitable work, just him generally, the him projecting what wrestling was all about at the time, like main event chat shows, his charisma.
Well, that's it as well, yeah, all the sort of TV appearances when he's gone on Jimmy Fallon, he's always held himself really well, and he's also always spoke about WWE really in a high regard. You know, you've got like the perfect poster boy there. Like, greatest of all time,
at
to watch a match, No, I don't think so. But then, like, also you could argue, like, the Thuganomics and everything else he's done, do you know what I mean? And also to stay on that Fruity Pebble fucking gimmick for, like, years. Yeah. You've got to be like, nah, you're the greatest of all time for just doubling down and going, no, fuck off, this is what I do.
Yeah, he's the greatest, that's because I'm stupid, he's the greatest of all time at what he does.
Yeah.
Like, no one will ever touch what he's done in terms of, like, where he's got to. I mean, yeah, he's not fucking Bret Hart. He's not Shawn Michaels in the ring. He's
like, not Dominic Mysterio.
I'll tell you what, I put him in the argument of best promo ever.
Yeah.
I think he's as good on the mic as anyone's ever been. I think you said you put him in top notch.
Oh, the whole John Cena and The Rock, those promos were fucking incredible.
Cena eviscerated them.
Yeah, when he did the whole, like, I didn't leave the promo notes in my hand and shit. It was awful. Like, he was brilliant at that. So.
The promos he cut on Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
Those were incredible.
CM Punk.
Even going back to the, I mean, looking back now, the rap stuff was hokey as shit. But like, at the time, I was super into it.
I loved it, man.
I was going, I was like late teens, and I was like, yeah, Cena's really cool.
Yeah, I asked for his CD for Christmas one year. I was like, Mom, I really want it. She was like, who's that? And I was like, don't worry.
You know what? It's not bad.
Greatest rapper of all time, maybe.
Is he the greatest WWE rapper?
Yeah. Oh, Artie's gonna have something to say about that.
Truth's gonna shout. Men on a Mission. Shout out Oscar. And Samo. Never forget Samo.
Never forget.
Well, we're gonna talk about some of his career highlights, career lowlights, surprises, interactions, best moments of his career. I think I'll start with let's get rid of the negative stuff first. The lowlights. I'm going to start with, whilst it was the biggest surprise, probably was the worst run, the heel turn this year.
I mean, the actual heel turn itself was
the surprise.
Incredible.
Yeah. The surprise of
that
the century.
That was the best. Like, that was the face, like, literally his face turning. The storytelling of that was incredible. But yeah, I think that was, you know, but I think we spoke about it before in the pod. I think that was out of his control. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, you could tell it was like they had a plan. And then The Rock went, nah, I can't be arsed. And then he had to just try and do it himself. Like,
yeah, it's such a shame, you know, as well.
It is a shame.
The second half of the year has been so fun with the way that they've been doing his matches. That it's like, we could have had a year of that. He could have just carried on doing bangers, doing his little tribute matches.
Yeah, I love the little tribute moves for everyone. But even that promo where he's like, hi, Matt Cardona, hi, Nick. Everyone was like, oh, shit. Like, that promo itself.
That
was incredible.
But that was in his heel turn.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So there were moments in there that I fucking loved.
But generally.
But just, you know, the shit wins, the matches weren't that great when he was heel. Like, it wasn't. You
like,
could tell,
even the WrestleMania match. Really fun. We watched the WrestleMania match all together.
Mm. It wasn't great.
And we were all like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just that I'm Travis Scott. Fuck off. Do you know what I mean?
And the fact that was your last WrestleMania and that was your entrance, that was your pinnacle WrestleMania moment.
Yeah, that was sad. That was sad.
That was sad to see.
But he did win a 17th world title, so that was fun.
Yeah. Incredible worker, incredible rapper, greatest of sometime.
I think it speaks volumes. We can't make these accusations against Cena.
Honestly, the squeakiest clean man in the world.
Yeah.
He's lovely.
Terrible hairline, you know what I mean? He loves it.
Another moment that I don't think was his greatest moment, the Nexus defeat in SummerSlam 2010.
Oh, well, do you mean when he beat all of Nexus? when he just squashed them all?
I think it was the pinnacle of that Super Cena moment. So you have this new faction coming in. I mean, and I've seen Edge and Jericho both give interviews about this. And they say, they're like, no, they have to beat us. Like, you're making 8 new stars by them beating us. And also, like, it wasn't just that he won. He was down to 2-1. And it was Wade Barrett and Justin Gabriel, and they were both being presented as big threats at the time.
Yeah.
He takes a DDT on the concrete floor. Then takes the 450 smash from Gabriel, kicks out, and then just beats them both. and apparently he went backstage and went, yeah, I got that wrong. It's like, no shit, you got it wrong.
What, these up-and-coming people who, by the way, this whole last time is now tournament, he literally was like, I want it to be a chance for these new talent to come up. It's like, do you remember when you fucked up the whole of Nexus? Like, that was such a big group in
who
one
survived Nexus? It was only Wade Barrett, and then in the end, Bray Wyatt, right?
So no, because he was the second wave of Nexus. So he wasn't the first one. So technically, the original invasion, you had Daniel Bryan, but he then got kicked out of Nexus and then came back.
Yeah.
So Wade Barrett, Daniel Bryan, David Otunga was around for a while. Heath Slater did pretty well. Yeah, Heath Slater had a good career. Michael Tarver, did nothing. Mm. Oh, Skip Sheffield became Ryback. Yeah. And you can judge whether that's a success. Yeah.
I don't know, have you seen these TikTok live streams? He comments on everything.
We hope you're well, Ryback.
Hi, Ryback. To be fair, he will actually probably reply. Yeah, yeah. He replied. I saw him the other day on TikTok live, just going, hoo, chatting to this woman on this fucking embarrassing. But you know, yeah, feed me more.
Who else was in it?
Incredible work.
David Otunga.
Yeah.
David Young.
Oh, yes, David, yeah.
WWE's first openly gay wrestler, even though Pat Patterson had been openly gay for about 30 years. But
yeah. There were so many people in Nexus, weren't there?
He was the Black John Cena, David Young. That's what they used to call him, remember?
I do remember that.
He referred to himself as the Black John Cena on TV.
Ron Cena was fuming.
Felix Cena was fucking devastated.
Felix, he's just, he's there, he's like, what have I been doing?
Another, I would say, I would personally say a down point in his career. Nikki Bella.
What, marrying Nikki Bella?
Not marrying Nikki Bella? What?
Just the whole situation.
Yeah. Total Bellas?
No, I'll tell you what, Total Bellas was a down.
Yeah, Total Bellas was like a weird, like, whilst obviously reality TV show was like big at that time and obviously making money, obviously the relationship that I had, having it to them be into this, I'm going to propose to you in the middle of the ring after I've basically said I never want to get married or have kids.
Hi, I'm Darren Marlar, host of the Weird Darkness podcast. I want to talk about the most important tool in my podcast belt. Spreaker is the all-in-one platform that makes it easy to record, host, and distribute your show everywhere, from Apple Podcasts to Spotify. But the real game changer for me was Spreaker's monetization. Spreaker offers dynamic ad insertion. That means you can automatically insert ads into your episodes, no editing required. And with Spreaker's programmatic ads, they'll bring the ads to you, and you get paid for every download. This turned my podcasting hobby into a full-time career. Spreaker also has a premium subscription model where your most dedicated listeners can pay for bonus content or early access, adding another revenue stream to what you're already doing. And the best part, Spreaker grows with you. Whether you're just starting out or running a full-blown podcast network, Spreaker's powerful tools scale effortlessly as your show grows. So if you're ready to podcast like a pro and get paid while doing it, check out Spreaker.com. That's Spreaker.com.
It was just like, fake. When we talked about like kayfabe and like the realities of what actual wrestling is, it just kind of was like, I don't need to see this. No. I don't need this.
And also they kind of perceived him on that show like he was a bit of a dickhead.
Yes.
Like, I remember seeing like clips. I never watched like a full episode of it, but I've seen like clips on.
Yes,
TikTok.
You did.
I loved it. I've got a t-shirt. I love the Bellas. But no, like there was one, she was like, I think she was something like, oh, John doesn't let me use certain place in the house. He's really weird, and made him out like he's an absolute weirdo.
Was that a thing where she cooked for him?
Yeah.
And he was really weird about it.
Yeah, apparently he got annoyed because it's something on the line.
But I've heard, Cena's always been quite tight-lipped about it. But what I've heard from like Brian Danielson in interviews, he was like, yeah, that was all like scripted. Like, it was all like a thing. But why did you agree to be portrayed as a dick?
The poster boy, like, make, he's like, oh, nice. You fucking cook me lasagna, bitch. And I was like, whoa.
Because it kind of made him seem anti-women.
Yeah. Although, to be fair, if Nikki Bella cooks like she works.
Oh, Jesus Christ, Mark Crab.
Is on a Hilton today.
That's the comment section.
Yeah. Now, the comment section will agree with me. If you've met men on the internet, they're awful. I said something negative about a woman, they'll be loving it.
Yeah, that's true. But they'll really be annoyed at you for what you said about their fucking Ric Flair. No, like, that's our guy.
Everyone's allowed to get naked and abuse a flight attendant. It's fine. Don't leave that in on. That might be the libels.
Oh, now you're worried you're going to get cancer.
Okay.
Stop making a hard
Ric Flair's not listening to this podcast.
Okay. Ric Flair might be. Mm. But Total Bellas was shit.
Another crazy downhill moment for John Cena, losing to John Laurinaitis in 2012.
Oh my God, I forgot that.
People power!
That was awful, wasn't it?
That was, and it was done in the most underwhelming way possible. And I will say, I love this man, but every time Big Show turns heel, it's always shit. It's always done in a way that makes no sense. It's always said, I'm going to lose my job. Yeah. It's like, you were a multi-millionaire. Yeah. You can afford to lose your job for a little bit, you whiny bitch.
It is a really bad heel turn all the time.
Him and Kane, always the worst heel turn.
And just the slowest KO punch you've ever seen.
By the way, this is true. There's legitimately an episode of Raw in like 2001, 2, where Big Show turns heel and then turns face again in the same episode.
Yes, I remember that.
And, like, not even done, like, as a thing. It was just like, oh, it'll be a face in this section, it'll be a heel in this one. We won't really explain why that's happened.
That's incredible.
And then he gets, and then they catapulted him over to SmackDown to feud with Brock for the title and win. It was really weird.
Anyway.
That's off scene. But yeah, Big Show knocking him out, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, also, again, like, we talk about him not putting over Nexus. He put over John Laurinaitis. That is ridiculous.
Hey, one half of the dynamic dudes, man. John Laurinaitis used to come up ring on a skateboard. What a legend.
Well, if he started doing that in his fucking suit, it would have been more interesting.
Funk man.
Okay. Yeah,
that was a low light, 100%.
He was part of Total Balance as well, wasn't he? Because he's shagging the mum.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
yeah. I actually didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, I might actually watch Total Bellas. Turns out you do watch Total Bellas, don't you?
My ex-boyfriend was a big fan of Total Divas and Total Bellas.
Really?
Yeah, huge. Like, he got into wrestling basically via the Bellas.
Oh, no,
a lot of people did actually, to be fair.
Yeah.
I didn't even know it was that successful.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, it was massive.
They even think about bringing it back, apparently, the rumour is. Like no, the Total Bellas, but the Total Divas.
There was a time when that show was at its peak, the Bellas were getting like monster pops.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you could have the big female section of the crowd.
That's
like,
why they, like, their popularity got higher because of the show.
I just thought because people liked them. Because that word was just right. I was like, oh, they're getting a pop, didn't they? All right.
Okay, last but not least, in the worst moments category, a feud with Kevin Federline in 2006 to 2007.
K-Fed Pin Cena. Kevin Federline, ex-husband of Britney Spears of 3 days.
What?
He was famous for about 12 minutes.
I don't remember this at all.
Yeah,
you're right not to. he was a guest host of Raw.
Oh, was it when they were doing all those guests?
Yeah, the guest host.
And they booked him in a no DQ match against Cena, and it was while he was having the feud with Umaga.
I need to Google.
Umaga comes out and absolutely lamps out Cena, and so is John Morrison's involved that as well, sense. I think. So two of them beat up Cena, and then Kevin Federline just pins John Cena in a clean in the middle of the ring.
Oh, hang on. I think I do remember this.
It was just a weird situation. Because obviously it was them rapping. Because he wants to be a rapper at the time, Kevin Federline.
Because K-Fed was like...
Shit, yeah.
K-Fed was like the most hated man in America at that time. Like everyone thought he was the biggest knob end. But also, like, he didn't go anywhere. They didn't do anything with it. You never saw him again. But yeah, he is 1-0 in WWE over John Cena.
Crazy.
Okay. Surprising moments. Categories. This is what we've got. Surprising moments categories. Royal Rumble 2008, when he returned to Madison Square Garden after recovering surprisingly really quickly from a torn pectoral muscle months ahead of his scheduled return.
Incredible.
I remember that moment.
Yeah.
And when he comes out, because Madison Square Garden for Royal Rumbles has always been my favourite Royal Rumble.
Yeah, because you had
them just immediately coming out.
And the entrance ramp was just there on the side. You could see it all the time.
Yeah. And he came out with the hat down and he came up and you could see Triple H's face was like, what the fuck?
Bitch, what? Why are you here? You're not meant to be at work yet,
bro. Yeah, exactly. What are you doing here?
My time is now, bitch.
This was at the peak of like the let's go see the Cena sucks era.
Yeah.
And like that New York crowd fucking hate John Cena. But the return was done so well. They all popped and massively cheered. Because they forgot they hated John Cena for about 10 seconds. And they were like, it's like, oh my God! He's like, oh no, fuck you! He's going to win!
Fuck you!
He's going to win. Number 30, didn't he?
But the actual moment was like, shit, it's John Cena! It's the second best Rumble surprise return ever. Edge, obviously, doing number one. But like, it was really well done. Also, because it had been quite a flat Royal Rumble, because everyone was like, oh, Triple H is going to win this. There wasn't even anyone else really in contention. It was just like, they had like, they're portraying like, ooh, Umaga might. Yeah, of course, Umaga's going to main event WrestleMania.
Imagine.
And it's obviously because like, he returned so quickly after that injury, everyone was just like, no way.
Also, that is Super Cena to the... to the core, because that's not even in the ring, that's just him recovering at home and he's still Super Cena.
You know how unexpected
he kicked out of the recovery.
You know how unexpected it was, because you remember he wins the Royal Rumble, he doesn't take his shot at WrestleMania, he has it at No Way Out against Randy Orton, because they hadn't planned for him to come back and win. So Triple H, the whole thing was Triple H Orton Mania, that's what they've been building all year. So they're like, well, Cena's back, we have to give him the title shot. And I think they're like, well, who were that? Oh, I don't want to wait till WrestleMania, I'll beat you at No Way Out. And they're like, all right. Makes no sense, but sure.
With John Cena. Do what you like, mate.
But yeah, it was really well done.
That was a great return.
And, well, we've talked about it briefly, but again, the surprise of the heel turn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Obviously, no one saw it coming, really.
No.
You couldn't see that coming.
I could not.
You could not see that coming.
For someone who is making his living acting now, his facial acting in that segment is beyond awful.
Liv Morgan did it a lot better.
Yeah, he said that in an interview. Yeah. He was like, she did the scene a turn better than I did.
She did the scene a turn better. She even called the scene a turn. He's like, yeah, she burped. Yeah, that was great. Again, yeah, for surprising moments for John Cena's career, I think that has to be up there, don't it? It's one of the best.
Another surprising moment that I'm putting out there is if Cena wins, we riot from ECW One Night Stand, June 2006.
RVD, right?
It was more to do with the audience because at that time, Cena was top babyface.
Yeah.
And obviously, One Night Stand, ECW, it was him versus RVD.
Yeah.
And literally the crowd just hated him.
Cena does not get enough credit for how well he did play that situation.
Yeah.
Coming out with a belt over his head, with his head down, so he doesn't really acknowledge the fans. Throwing a t-shirt into the crowd, then throwing it back. But he just kept throwing it back out. Because he was like, well, he goes, I'm not going to do anything heelish, but I'm going to annoy you by just doing what I usually do.
And he knew, all right, I'll throw it to this bit of the crowd. He knew he was going to come back. Because his face is like, he had him in like the palm of his hand.
Yeah.
Even though the crowd are like, it's Mars manipulator, isn't it? I'm just going like, he knew how to play.
And I'm not
going to
lie, I was so generally worried if he had won, there was going to be a massive riot.
Yeah.
I was so worried.
They're going to storm the ring RVD's our boy.
I mean, they beat him, but in the most convoluted way possible. It was like, Edge spears him through a table, Paul Heyman makes the freak out. It was a whole sort of like, yeah, he's beaten, but not really. Yeah. You can have the belt, but for a little while.
Okay, another surprising moment, I would argue, is the Firefly Funhouse. From April 2020, WrestleMania. Obviously, this is COVID season. WrestleMania, they had to figure something out. And this was WrestleMania 36. It was a cinematic production.
Yeah.
It wasn't really a traditional match, highlighting John Cena's career choices and what ifs.
Yeah.
And I just thought the match itself was a surprise because no one really saw it coming.
No one really saw the fact that John Cena would be so willing to go along with that as well, because that was Bray Wyatt's toy, right?
Yeah.
Like, it was his idea, it was his thing. Like, even seeing John Cena like an NWO show, do you know what I mean? All that, like the Too Sweet, all this stuff where you're like, especially at this point in WWE, I don't think any of us thought that they'd let them get away with some of that stuff and do that. So yeah, I think that was great. I think, yeah, I mean, acting wise, John Cena did it. Like, other than the whole ruthless aggression and then the weird, but that looked a bit shit in that match, to be honest.
But it was really well done, I think. I love that match. I think it, like, fit in the circumstances, doing what I do. And also, following from the previous night, they'd done the Boneyard match with AJ Styles and Undertaker, which was another fucking masterpiece.
Yeah.
Shot of Undertaker behind AJ Styles still comes up as a meme now. It's like,
oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. It's just like, he's like, in Undertaker's face, it's like, what my microwave sees when I'm like 2 a.m. So.
But I think it was good that they pushed something outside the box without a crowd. That they had to do something interesting, and they just went with, well, fuck it. It's wrestling. Everyone knows it's not real. We'll make a game of it and use this Bray character as well as we can. You know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was surprising, and it's a shame that the match never happened. Like, as it was with a lot of stuff, because it would have been interesting. Because I think Ashimi was going to put the Fiend over.
Yes.
I know he technically won the match. But
so, I don't know how that even counts.
He bent him.
Yeah,
I think he counted his own freak out, maybe.
Career moments, highlights. Obviously, we've got to talk about the debut.
Hi, I'm Darren Marlar, host of the Weird Darkness podcast. I want to talk about the most important tool in my podcast belt. Spreaker is the all-in-one platform that makes it easy to record, host, and distribute your show everywhere, from Apple Podcasts to Spotify. But the real game changer for me was Spreaker's monetization. Spreaker offers dynamic ad insertion. That means you can automatically insert ads into your episodes, no editing required. And with Spreaker's programmatic ads, they'll bring the ads to you, and you get paid for every download. This turned my podcasting hobby into a full-time career. Spreaker also has a premium subscription model where your most dedicated listeners can pay for bonus content or early access, adding another revenue stream to what you're already doing. And the best part, Spreaker grows with you. Whether you're just starting out or running a full-blown podcast network, Spreaker's powerful tools scale effortlessly as your show grows. So if you're ready to podcast like a pro and get paid while doing it, check out Spreaker.com. That's SPREAKER.com.
Ruthless aggression.
Okay.
It was the start of a new era.
Yep.
It was the start of, obviously he came out and basically addressed Kurt Angle's challenge. Kurt Angle was like, I want to have new talent, new one to come face me. I'm the best. Who's going to come out and face me? John Cena comes out in an interesting outfit.
Interesting, huh? No, just an he looked like he was made on SmackDown versus Raw 2009. He just generated a character. It's like, that's red trunks on him.
That was
standard. Yeah, he fell into a shop. I was like, yeah, there we go.
Yeah, the match is good. He's working with Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle,
yeah,
could wrestle a fucking broom. But he lets Cena get so much offense in, but then Angle wins the match, and it really put him over. And then there's the backstage segment as well, where Undertaker, who's champion at the time, shakes John Cena.
Yeah. Kind of,
give me a good job, kid. You know,
because at that time, Undertaker was heel, wasn't he?
Well, he just had the match with Jeff Hardy, where he kind of turned face.
Yeah, yeah.
He shook Jeff Hardy's hand after the match. Yeah. Basically, they were using Undertaker, these are the new stars you should be looking at. Yeah. Sort of like, then Jeff Hardy got fired for drugs.
We're doing so well then.
I think that was it. What's interesting is that people seem like to forget that he made that awesome debut, then he beat Chris Jericho on the following pay-per-view, and then he was shit for quite a long time.
Because he nearly got fired, didn't he?
They had him babyface, that wasn't working. They turned him heel by having him turn on his tag team partner, Billy Kidman. Which was a thing, if anyone remembers that happening.
Oh, Billy Kidman.
Yeah. Billy Kidman was great, but the fact that they were a tag team.
That was batshit.
And then he turned heel, and then again, if you believe the story of him rapping on the back of a bus and Stephanie McMahon hearing him is what saved his job.
Yeah.
Which is mad. If he doesn't freestyle on a bus, John Cena never happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they were like, you should do that in the ring. That is
a crazy...
And then it's like, okay, give it a go. Because one of the hot... pinnacle moments of my childhood was watching him FU fucking the Big Show and winning the United States Championship with the knuckle dusters and stuff.
Oh, he was over shit.
Bounces off, picks up, and it was like the Andre the Giant fucking body slam moment, wasn't it? Everyone was like, how's he picking up Big Show? What the fuck? Like that was insane. Like, but yeah, if he didn't rap that one time, there should be more people rapping on buses.
You wanna get over, kid? Learn to freestyle rap on a bus.
Yeah. Still playing your tunes out your phone out loud, just rap.
But you are right, even like we all remember Ruthless Aggression and we all remember Thugonomics.
Yeah.
But the bit in between those two was like,
it's a hazy memory.
Hazy.
I don't really remember.
Like, I think after the first match, he then was on SmackDown again the week after.
Yeah.
And then it kind of just like dribbles off for like a few months.
And he beats Jericho in that pay per view match, and that's because, you know, Chris Jericho, you know, the knack of having him just put over people randomly. It was really bad. The worst thing I remember about his babyface run, because he used to wear the little pants, and he used to colour code them to the whatever the sports team in the city he was in was in. It's that sort of worst case of babyface pandering to.
Wait, is he doing that with the t-shirts now?
Now he's John Cena.
I've just realised he has still done that.
He's doing that right now with the t-shirts.
He's just wore jorts. Yeah, he's like, I can't change the colour of my jorts, mate.
But now it's a quarter of a century later, and he's John Cena. Like, he can do what he wants now. Like,
that's crazy.
Mm.
Okay.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Oh, man, stick to your guns. You know, he's the greatest of all time.
He is the greatest of all time.
Next highlight, which I've put in out there, is the US Championship match, the first time he ever wins it at WrestleMania 20, which is in March 2004. I think this was obviously, we talk about the open challenge.
Yep.
Everyone's like, everyone talks about it nowadays. Even with our new US champion, even with Sami Zayn when he had it, it was a pinnacle of, I feel like, his career.
100%.
Winning that championship.
Like I said, it was like, that WrestleMania was like probably my first one I remember being able to stay up and watch it live and stuff. Like, that was one of, and even that US run when he made the spinny US title.
I loved that belt. I hated it when he did it with the world title, because that one looked shit.
Yeah.
The US title one, it's a mid-card title.
Yeah, I've got it at home, like a little replica one of it. Sick. But then who beat him? Was it Orlando Jordan?
Orlando Jordan beat him.
He looked so shit with that. You know when like anyone beat John Cena for a spinny title, and you're like,
I've seen recently of him trying to spin it again. I was like, I remember that. You looked like a dickhead.
Yeah, dickhead.
JBL put it up in a bin though, didn't he? That time.
Yeah.
And he gives Orlando Jordan the proper one. Because it was like, they just need to get the US title off him because they were going to put him into the main event with JBL.
Yeah.
And they said he just had well, let him cheat like fuck to win the US title.
Yeah.
He lost the US title to one other superstar during before he lost it to Orlando Jordan. He got it back. Do you remember who beat John Cena for the US title on their debut in the company?
Oh no, this is good trivia.
What, the spinny one?
He beats, I think he's got the spinny one, yeah.
So three people.
So he beats Big Show, he loses it to this wrestler, he gets it back, then he loses it to Orlando Jordan. Ooh. This man was making his, it's his first ever WWE match.
2002, right?
It would have been 2003, I think.
It wasn't young Dominic Mysterio, was it?
Rey Mysterio!
No. First match in WWE, he was a heel. He'd been, built, he'd been beat up with vignettes for a few weeks. Alright, I'm just gonna tell you. It says.
You okay?
It's Carlito.
Oh shit!
He hit him in the face with a chain and knocked him out.
Yeah, I remember that. I do remember that.
And then Carlito had a sidekick called Jesus who allegedly stabbed John Cena in a nightclub.
Yeah.
That was a plot line. That was a plot line they ran. Yeah. So Cena could have a street fight with Jesus.
Jesus?
A man we never saw again. Well, I thought you'd want to after he stabbed someone in a nightclub. Yeah. That's well beyond. It's like. Why are we having a match? Why have the police not been called?
Should we call the police? No, it's on the street.
I think him having a United States Championship at that time was like a pinnacle of growth of wrestlers, if that makes sense. Like, he went from having the US Championship as a mid-carder to then being elevated up to the main, like, World Championship level. And I think at that point, because now it's very much like you could be here a world champion and then be back down and then be back up again.
Yeah, whereas this one was
like, that was just like the upscale of what was meant to be happening in terms of your wrestling career at that point.
Well, they kind of were pushing him and Orton on parallel lines, remember, because Orton got the IC title, he got the US title, and they were on Raw and SmackDown. They were kept very separate for a long time. And then they were very much not kept separate for a really long time. We saw a lot of Randy Orton and John Cena matches. But
okay.
So this is the way you finish and you just
talk. Okay.
Okay. As if you're like, I don't get
glad
it.
Glad my contributions are being well received on the podcast today. Oh, he's still talking. All right.
So Keith just looked at her notes and just went, okay, Mark, moving on, you bastard. We're going to talk about Randy Orton later, but that's fine.
Sorry.
It was just.
We're going to talk about Randy Orton now.
It was just
the
joke.
Okay. I was actually, because I was going to end it. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it.
Yeah,
okay. Defeating The Rock at WrestleMania 29, April 2013. The rematch.
Mm. Not twice the original one.
Yeah. It only happens twice.
That was the funniest shit I've ever seen. Only happens once twice. In a lifetime, wasn't it? As soon as he lost, he's like, do we do it again?
Yeah. It was money at that time, didn't it? It was money.
It was so much fun. I loved it.
Yeah.
I would love that they've done it every year for like
one more time.
I actually was convinced they were going to do one this year.
At the final boss.
Yeah, because obviously it was one all. And then it would have just made sense if they just had a third one this year. But obviously it just never happened.
Maybe there'll be a twist. Maybe Gunther gets taken out backstage and it's suddenly The Rock. First, imagine not advertising that you're going to do The Rock versus John Cena.
Also, The Rock trying to get out, Edge is trying to push him out of the way. I want him. I want the last one. Rob Van Dam comes out. No, me.
Then Gangrel beats up for all, rises through the flame.
And then Big Show has a heel turn again.
If Cena's last match was Gangrel, just with a surreal auto-tanker, the surreal brilliance of those moments would be like, everyone would be like, fair play, didn't see that coming.
No, people would say fair play, didn't see that coming, but also would go, why?
Gangrel wins clean. Impaler DDT, 1, 2, 3.
It's a John Cena fucking special episode and you still get Gangrel out.
Speaking of rapping and wrestling, Gangrel's theme song has a rap version called Fangin' and Bangin', if you've not heard that. That's the best wrestling rap song there is.
I really want to go back on all episodes we've ever done and do a game of any time you've mentioned Fangin' and Bangin'. You have to do a shot.
Not listened to Fangin' and Bangin' yet.
How's that not our intro song now? Fangin' and Bangin', Wrestle Club.
He's the vampire warrior. He's coming to murder you. That's one of the lyrics.
How did Gangrel end up on this episode?
When's the Gangrel episode? There's so much to cover. The Brood. Other things.
The Brood.
His marriage to Luna Vachon.
Why do you know so much about Gangrel?
Why do I think David Heath doesn't get the credit he deserves? So trademark's owned by White Wolf Entertainment. Anyway.
Back to John Cena.
Who?
My last suggestion for greatest moments is this year, actually, AJ Styles match.
Yeah.
We talked about it before on the podcast, but I just think that match was
incredible.
Beginning to end.
In hindsight, it should have been his last match, because no one was stopping that. No. There was absolutely no perfect.
I mean, to the little detail, like, obviously, more commending AJ Styles, but, like, wearing his old TNA gear.
Yeah.
Like, just how he sells all the references to other wrestlers. Like, I could not stop watching that match. I actually watched that twice.
Yeah.
Because it was that good. I was like, the next hour, I need to watch that again.
I also really appreciate him writing the intro for AJ Styles.
Yeah, that was nice. You could tell that AJ genuinely had no idea it was
going to
happen.
Yeah. When he started
mentioning the Bullet Club,
I was like, are we allowed? I don't know. He's like looking at Triple H, I won't be, bro. I swear.
I'm not involved with that.
Yeah. That's him. We're going to tell him off, are
you? I bet you were Legion Taylor was like, can I say? Am I allowed to say?
Yeah. Gets his mic cut off like CM Punk.
But I do generally agree, it should have been his last match. That should have been his last match. If he wasn't getting Edge, if he wasn't getting the match that we all envisioned, that should have been the last
match. It should have been that, or they should have held back, you know, like Punk or Orton, because those were like his biggest feuds, Edge aside as well. Do you know what I mean? Like the pipe bomb moment.
Yeah.
But like having even CM Punk doing like a heel run just for John Cena's last bit. That would have been nice to run that back properly.
Yeah, Punk could have done that as well for that match. Yeah. He'd be like, yeah, I'll be
a I'll be a cunt from it. Do you know what I mean? But like, yeah, I don't know. It feels weird that AJ match was so good, and now we're potentially gonna have to sit through Cena and Gunther.
How are you feeling about Cena and Gunther?
I know you are, but like, I just think for Cena's last match, it just doesn't feel right.
Do you think he's winning? Because me and Mark spoke about this briefly in the last episode.
Yeah, Gunther. If it's Cena and Gunther, Gunther wins.
Because my argument is that he's already lost to Brock this year a few months ago.
Yeah.
Then he's just lost his IC, his US Championship to Dirty Dom.
Rightfully so. Yeah.
I didn't say otherwise.
Right, oh, beautiful. What a moment.
Yeah.
Can't believe I haven't even spoken.
And now you're going to lose.
He's my Gangrel.
You will have your episodes.
That's what the G in GOAT stands for, Gangrel of all time.
And then you have him lose to Gunther.
Yeah.
And I know Mark said in the last episode that how he's a traditionalist and traditionally you lose leaving your last match.
Yeah, but then also, like, it would be really funny for him to squash another talent on his last one. You know what I mean?
Just a throwback.
Yeah. And looks at Wade Barrett and just goes, remember that? Remember that, bro?
That was for you.
I just dumped him.
You know this guy we've had lose, like, 3 matches in 5 years?
Yeah. Just done it again.
We're just smashing him.
John Cena absolutely squashes Gunther. Does a heel turn again. Hits him with the I wouldn't buy that.
Pins him with 1 foot.
Yeah! The Chris Jericho one like that.
The old Great Khali pin.
He's just Great Khali
John. Oh, by the way, we're talking about John Cena. John Cena pulls out a really passably good match with the Great Khali in a main event once.
Yeah.
That's your biggest surprise.
I'll tell you what.
No one else managed it.
No one's ever done that.
Like, it's Extreme Rules or something. And they have a really good Extreme Rules match because Cena works his fucking ass off. And like,
because Great Khali didn't know he was there.
Couldn't see
him. Cena was just wrestling around him. He's like,
Great Khali. Yeah, but Cena.
Great Khali needs an episode.
That's one of Cena's biggest accomplishments, I think. He had a good main event match with the Great Khali. Yeah.
Does anyone else have any other outstanding moments, good or bad, or surprising, or awkward?
I mean, I was a really big Zack Ryder fan back in the day, and him throwing him, having the whole taking, what was it, Eve Torres off him. That was a weird moment, wasn't it? That was a bit weird. Anytime John Cena's been kissed by a woman, feels weird.
Oh, I don't like John Cena kissing.
Yeah, it doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel right.
I've seen a Rock kiss in a film as well.
Yeah, it's weird.
Like, you're too meaty. You're like balls of protein.
It's like hearing your nan swear. It just feels wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Oh. Not my nan, obviously, because I don't talk to her, but like, you know what I mean? She's, if she did.
You're from Kent. Your nan definitely swears.
Yeah, I know they all do. You get drive into Kent, it's like, fuck off.
That's actually the town slogan.
Yeah. Well, it's Kent, you can. But yeah, no, like, any time he's had any romance storyline, always felt weird for me. And like that, it felt like they were just pissing off Zack Ryder for no real reason, that whole weird run. Like, he lost to Eve Torres, and then I think, was it Kane threw him off the ramp in a wheelchair? Like, it was just bizarre, wasn't it? It was like someone went, should we fuck him up because he keeps saying broski? That's how it felt. And I think even Cena said in the interview, he was like, yeah, I don't really know what that was about. And Zack Ryder was like, yeah, no idea, man. Take care, spike your hair, woo, woo, woo.
None of that is as bad as making him seem with Mojo Rawley.
God, yeah.
Shout out the hype bros. I'll tell you what, one of my favourite Cena memories is the matches with Umaga. I think they had really good chemistry. Like the I Quit match where he's choking him out, or maybe his last match, but he's choking him out with the actual ring rope that he'd removed.
Yeah.
Which is like, and he's covered in blood, and it's just like, it's one of those great visuals of just like Cena comedy buzz, like, strangling Umaga, who they were booking super strong at the time. As well. Like, he was unbeatable. Like, he destroyed Ric Flair on a pay-per-view before that. And, you know,
him also Cena nearly killing Batista with all those chairs.
Yeah,
that was a great moment.
Tried to murder.
Just sitting there, just went, yank that, and all those chairs just fall on them, and we're all like, bruv,
I didn't know you were capable of that.
That man's gonna die. And he's like, I'm still faced, by the way. No, you're not. Yeah. You just slammed 27 chairs on a man.
He's got a history of that. He did it at the end of an I Quit match with JBL as well, because he's standing in front of a glass plane, and you see this holding, I think, a bumper to a car.
Yeah.
And so JBL quits, so he doesn't hit him, and then Cena just lamps him through the window. That's attempted murder at that point, John. The match is over.
He's been ill for a long time.
You know what, Cena? I'm turning on you now. You're an arsehole.
Obviously, we've talked briefly about some of the people that he's faced over his over 20-year career. Obviously, I think CM Punk is probably one of the best ones. Him, that match where CM Punk wins and leaves with the title is like a pinnacle.
Iconic.
Like,
perfectly booked.
Yeah, perfectly.
So having like Vince come down, seeing like Nia goes in, gets GTS.
Like
the crowd being so hot for it as well.
Yeah. Yeah, so good. That was like the high point of Punk as well, wasn't it? And even him coming back with it, when it's both of them holding the title up, you're like, that's good.
That's another Cena heel moment, by the way. Rey Mysterio wins a title on one leg, and then Cena challenges him the same night.
Yeah, that was actually...
Let him rest!
Yeah. Rey Mysterio was like my fave back then. And obviously now, the greatest Mysterio of all time is always Dominic Mysterio, but back then I was a Rey Mysterio boy. Like, he was the reason I got into wrestling as well. So when he got the world title, I was like, fucking yeah, my boy, he's got it! And then, literally saying that, I went, okay. I was happy for literally 45
minutes. Cena beat him like half an hour earlier.
Yeah. I was like, that was a moment for the little guy, and Cena goes,
it's a really weird booking of a baby face, man. It was really strange. Yeah. It's just like,
If we're talking about surprising moments, I think, and obviously Mark, he wasn't there, but when me, my cousin, Danny and Ibs went to see Money in the Bank in 2023 in London, and then John Cena
one of the
coming
best days
out.
Of my life.
Was a surprise to everyone.
It was a surprise to me, and
as
we were walking up to go for a shit, mate. And I was like, legged it back down.
Is that when he announces the retirement?
No. He said he that's when he was trying to hype up a WrestleMania in London.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I think he was over here recording something. He just happened to be in the
UK. Yeah, I think he just happened to be over here. But it was a surprise to everyone.
Good.
No one knew it was coming. Mm. But also, it kind of felt like, I don't know if we're ever going to see him again. So it kind of felt like a big moment.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I saw Hill Cena. That was fun.
Oh, yeah, you did, didn't you?
Yeah.
Let's get him on the podcast.
Let's do it. Yeah, I've seen Face and Hill Cena, and now I want him on the pod. No, that was great as well. I think, like, because obviously when we, like, you always hear that let's go Cena sucks, but to be in, like, the arena where he's genuinely Hill and he's literally going, you're all shit, and he was like giving us shit, and we're all going like, I was all going, I love you Cena, I still love you. And, like, you could see that, you could hear some people still cheering him. He's like, why don't you hate me?
Here's a final thought for you. Do you think it's a shame that we did not get to see Edge, Adam Copeland back in for the last run with John Cena?
I still think I'm still holding out a little bit of hope. I really do. I want it so bad. That, because I can't express how much I don't really care watching Gunther choke out Cena on his last time and him leaving his shoes in the ring. I don't want to see that. I want Gunther's music to play, and then he's in a fucking tree. and then you hear, you think you know me, and he runs up. The pop would be insane. Like, that's got to be the last match. It has to.
I think, genuinely, because of how important they were to each other's careers, if Edge had known that Cena was going to be doing this retirement year, he would have signed a shorter deal at AEW.
Yeah, I think so.
I think he would have made himself available if he had known that this was a thing that was going to happen. Because I think, like, the fact that they're not each other's... Well, even... Not each other's... The fact that Edge is not Cena's last match, it feels wrong.
Yeah.
Like, well, he was his number one foil for a decade or whatever, however long they ran it. And some great matches. The TLC match was incredible they had. And maybe like, because people weren't completely sold on Edge as a main eventer until he went in there with Cena and they made it work. It was great.
I think they kind of made each other elevate live, in their wrestling careers.
Live sex celebration.
Yeah.
Cena interrupted that. Cutting off Lita's orgasm. What a cunt.
You know Cena, another yeah. Cena Hill moment. Another Cena Hill moment, yeah. And also the fact that Cena didn't even text Edge to let him know that he was going to be on his retirement tour. You know what I mean? You could have let him know.
Edge,
obviously, I'd love, you know, mate, how are you doing? Long time no see. I'd love you to be my last match. I'm going to do this tour. Just letting you know.
Well, we hope John Cena has enjoyed his last retirement, or his last run in WWE and his retirement tour. We are going to obviously be watching Saturday Night Main Event, even though I do hate the commercials on YouTube. We will be watching. There's meant to be a watch party. One half of the Fluffy Boys is meant to be organising it. Is he here?
No, he's asleep. No fucking stamina, these kids.
Yeah, so I can't tell you the details. But obviously, once I know the details, we'll let you know. Apart from that,
check on our Instagram or something.
I hope you have enjoyed your last moments with John Cena. If you have any thoughts about moments that you've really enjoyed over his career, surprises or things that you've absolutely hated, please do let us know at Wrestle Club UK Podcast. As always, I've been your host, Sikisa. Please do like and subscribe. Give us a little 5-star review. We'll love that so much so we can just get a little bump on our socials. But I've been joined this week by Main Event Mark Cram.
It's been a pleasure and a curse.
At least you got to talk about Gangrel.
Yeah.
Join me next week for my solo episode where I talk about the career of Gangrel, interlaced with random mentions of Tatanka.
I'd listen. Yeah.
And one half of the Fluffy Boys, Danny Scott.
See, watch Peacemaker as well. It's great.
Please do like and subscribe. This has been another episode of the Wrestle Club UK Podcast.
Wrestle Club Podcast.
A flying clothesline, a 2x4 to the face. Then she hits you with a turnbuckle splash. Wrestle Club Podcast with Sikisa. It's her and her friends, and they talk about wrestling, every kind of wrestling. Woo!